God just, he so affirmed to me that I heard him right. Melissa began by starting this service out today. And do we get our CD in so I can get started? It's already on? Great. Melissa started the service off today reading you out of Hebrews. And the word of the Lord was, then did you hear it? Today, if you would hear my voice. The title of my message, which my wife had no clue whatsoever, the title of my message today is anybody listening? That's the title of my message. Is anyone listening? Because I believe God is speaking and God is sharing. And oh, by the way, lest I forget, if you are guests here today and you didn't sign up for the newcomers luncheon, please don't let that discourage you. Please stay for our newcomers luncheon. It's just a meet and greet lunch. That's all it is. There's nothing, we're not going to make anyone sign anything or put pressure. It's just to get together so that you can get to know the leadership a little bit better. Amen. So in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And I want to encourage you, if it's been a while since you have taken yourself through Proverbs, you know, there's 31 Proverbs, and so you can actually, if you want, make that part of your daily devotion and read a proverb every day. But as we were coming back from Mexico, and I sure had a great time in Mexico. Thank you for sending us to Mexico, church. Thank you for allowing us to go and love on some people, love on Jaime and Raquel. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do that. But as I was coming back and I was contemplating Father's Day. And again, last week was just, we're just glad to be back. I mean, I think Isaac and I figured it out. We were in the car that week for 30 hours, close to 30 hours worth of driving. And then as soon as church was over, we loaded the truck and we moved to San Antonio, right? And we got Mom's truck loaded, and then Tuesday we came back from San Antonio. So there was another 12 hours of driving. And then yesterday, day before yesterday, Isaac, we're going to Dallas. So there's another, you know, I mean, it's just go, 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 go. And so in all our going, we kind of dropped the ball a little bit. We didn't have our Father's Day gifts. And all along, they were right in my man cave. Here I was thinking, boy, that came and got those flashlights, and they're not even, no, where are they? Look at my brother. My brother's like, you got them, David. And I'm like, what do you mean I got them? And I walked home from church. The women were missing. That's right. So, long story. Anyway, the bottom line is, though, I really felt like Proverbs chapter 1, a dad talking to his son. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's just read a little bit of Proverbs chapter 1. And our main verse, nothing's coming out. That's all right. Our main verse is going to be Proverbs, is verse 20. That is our focus point this morning. Wisdom calls aloud outside. All right, here we go, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple and to the young man. All the young men say, amen. Yeah. And to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, another one of our key verses this morning. For the fear of the Lord, everyone say the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, and this is dad's passing it on. Amen? This is dad's passing it on. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. And everyone say, I know that's right. Because when you break the law of the mother, for they will be graceful ornament on your head, and they will be chains around your neck. You'll be looking like Mr. T. And my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say to you, and he's warning us now about some people who we don't want to get involved with. Come with us. Let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole in those that goes down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. That's what these bad guys are saying. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot with us. Get in queue. Everyone say, get in queue. Get in queue. We found out from Isaac that means to get in line. Get in queue. Get in queue with us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk with them. Amen? Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. From their feet, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. It's going to backfire against them. The enemy's plans are going to backfire. Amen? So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Verse 20, and here's our key verse this morning. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Father, thank you today for blessing this short time we're going to have together this morning. Father, help us to understand that you have given us ears to hear. And you've given us a heart to obey. And Father, we thank you this morning for instruction. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, you be seated. Fathers, moms and dads, giving instruction to those who are learning to walk the way. I appreciate instruction in my life. Can I say that again? I appreciate the instruction I have had in my life. Not only was it a verbal instruction, but I was taught by example how to live a life to please God. And I'm so thankful for that. And because of that, and if James were here this morning, he would echo, my brother and I walked the way, and we stayed the way. Again, Scripture promises us, train up a child in the way they should go. Train up children in the way they should go. That's setting them on the path, and when they get off the path, we put them back on the path. And when they stray a little bit this way, we put them back on the path. And how many of you know, those of you who have had strong-willed children, to turn them to the path? Oh, and you're like, Lord, how many times are we going to have to take the wooden spoon out today? I mean, you know the wooden spoon. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's what the psalmist said. In our house, at the time, it's not comforting, Dakota. You're right. But let me tell you what, if you can take a strong-willed child and turn them, and truly turn them the way they should go, they will stay the path. Because that strong will that they had that was bent against the instruction and bent against the rules now will be the same strong will that will keep them bound to the Word of God and bound to the truths of God. Now, those of you who did not have strong will, you had compliant children. This is not fair. I just say it right now. It's not fair for those of you who had compliant children. And you didn't have to deal with a strong-willed child. But how many of you know, and how many of you appreciate today, God has given us all a will. God has given us all the ability, and we're going to see it in a moment. He's given us all the ability to choose which pathway we're going to take. Is anybody listening? See, I believe the Lord, he's echoed that several times today through the prayer of Dallas's prayer, through Melissa's word. God is speaking. He's shouting out to us, church. And the question is, are we listening? Because how many of you know when the prophet ran into the tunnel, feeling how horrible everything was, and he ran up into the cave, and God says, then there came an earthquake, and he wasn't in the earthquake. Then came a fire, and he wasn't in the fire. But then the prophet said, listen, then came a still small voice, and God was in the still small voice. Is anyone listening to hear the still small voice? I believe God right now, though, according to Proverbs Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out. That's not a whisper, is it? That's God trying to get some of people's attention, particularly those who are not walking in the way. God wants to call them, amen? God wants to bring them in so that they can be blessed, so they can be part. Again, the reason we've heard it this morning, why is he withholding coming back? Because he wants to give us an opportunity to reach the whole world, amen? She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks, and who's doing the crying? Everyone say wisdom. 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 So we need to, we see some things here. We see two things that just jump out of me in these scriptures and all through Proverbs. First, we have knowledge. Everyone say knowledge. See, now knowledge is taking in. Knowledge is the wherewithal to be able to hear and then to be able to take it in. Verse 7 of chapter 1. For the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of knowledge. It is ground zero. Amen? So we have to have, and we're going to talk about what is the fear of the Lord. But then when we jump down to chapter 9 and verse 10, he repeats it again, and this time he says this. For the fear of the Lord, this is Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we have to have the fear of the Lord for knowledge, and we have to have the fear of the Lord for wisdom. But here's what I see, church. We've lost our fear of God. We have lost the fear of God in America. And again, you have to understand the process. Because we do not believe that there are consequences for our sin, and if there's no consequences for sin, then why should we have a fear of God? Now, the fear of God is not just, oh God, if I make a mistake, then there's going to be ramifications for my mistakes. There's going to be ramifications for my shortcoming. That is only one part of the fear of God. Do we understand, church, that the fear of God is an awe? It is an honor, the honor of God, the awe of God, to revere and to bow in his presence because it is so mighty and so powerful and so awesome. That's also the fear of God. But let me tell you what, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. Those of you who grew up in a Pentecostal church, you understood the other side of the fear of God. All the you know, and again, you were like, I need to watch the way that I walk because there might be consequences of my walk that I'm going to pay, and it's not going to be good consequences, right? And so there's it's a healthy fear, church. It's a healthy fear. And again, Grandma taught it to me. She taught it to my daughters. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down below. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Why did she teach us that song? Why did she teach Paige and Leach that song? It's part of the fear of God. And we've lost the fear of God in America. To think that it's okay. He's a loving God. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. So we'll just live our lives any way we want. Well, that's not Bible. You know that, church. And for us as dads, is us as parents, to be able to pass it on as Solomon is trying to pass it on to his son. Isn't it interesting? As hard as Solomon worked at it and he wrote on it, his son still chose not to follow the ways of God. His son, David had Absalom, and David had how do you say his name? Abinadi. Anyway, they were both failures. They were both failures. They did not heed the words of David. And now he as we read a couple of weeks ago, David's going to talk to Solomon and say, Solomon, listen, I'm on my deathbed. These are the things that you need to do to walk right before God. We've lost our fear. Notice what Proverbs 14:26. Turn over your Bibles, 14:26. I want you to see this. We have to understand, and we have to teach our children to fear the Lord, the fear of God, a healthy fear, a fear to understand how great it is to be in His presence and what a privilege it is to be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, in the fear. So notice now we're going in the fear of the Lord. It's operating in our lives. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Woo! It's a promise for us, church, that because we're in the fear of the Lord, even though everything outside of us is going to, and it's going to get more bonkers. This is the beginning of bunkerness. And things that should be obvious will not be obvious. Because again, their eyes have been blinded. They are walking in darkness. And people who are walking in darkness generally don't make good decisions. But here's the promise for us. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning we have a confidence in Him. Our hope is in Him, our confidence is in Him, our strength is from Him, and because we're complete in Him. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ living in us. Amen. And we are complete. We don't need anything else. In the fear of the Lord is confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. See, here's what it does when you teach your children the fear of the Lord. When we bring our children up, and here's in Revival Temple, Pastor Bell would grab every baby in the dedication, and his prayer was always at one point or another, Father, we thank you today that this child will be raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And we can't get away from that. And we can't wait until it's too late, as we're going to see. When they start getting on their own pathway and they start following their own things. Again, here's the truth. And it does not change according to Romans, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And you notice he lays it out there. The wages of sin is death. Do I want to receive the wages of sin, or do I want to receive the gift of eternal life? Choose. Make a choice. And so what we're doing is we're raising our kids, we're raising our grandchildren to understand that there is a choice, that there is a pathway, that everybody comes to that place. Broad is the way that everyone else is taking. Everyone say broad. That leads to destruction. But narrow, narrow is the pathway that leads to life, and there are few that find it. We will be in the minority, church. Just telling you right now. We will be in the minority in walking this thing out. We will be in the minority when we make the choice to follow and to fear God and to hear Him. Wisdom's crying out. Is anybody listening? Lord, help us. Help us to listen. Joshua stood in front of the people. Turn over your Bibles, Joshua 24, verse 14. Joshua 24, 14. And he's standing in front of the people, and they've come through the process of getting to the promised land. But God, he's not done finalizing their new home yet. Joshua 24, 14. Now, therefore, and you might want to underline this in your Bible if you don't mind marking your Bible. The first thing he says is what? Fear the Lord. Wow. I looked at that, and I'm like, because I know the passage I wanted to go to, but I did not realize that right there in the passage that God wanted me to turn to is this phrase that Joshua is going to start off. The first thing he says to them is, now therefore, fear the Lord. Be in awe of God. Follow after his ways. Amen. Serve him. And again, every time you see that word serve, you can almost always put the word worship instead of serve. It's the same word for worship as it is for serve. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, worship him, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the God which the fathers served or whether on the other side of the, which were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, say it with me, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day. And so here is this. This is what God is saying. You need to choose because you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't decide only to serve God when it's convenient to you. We can't just serve God when it's to be our advantage. And here's what we've seen and are seeing. America wants its 50 shades of gray. America wants its 50 shades of gray. America does not want black or white. We want everything to be gray. But the God of this book says, I'm not the God of the gray. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but by me. And so we've got to train our children to walk in the way. And the first thing, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And knowledge is great, but knowledge is worthless until we apply it to our life and it becomes wisdom. We have to take the knowledge that we receive and then we apply it to our lives. And when we apply knowledge to our lives, it becomes wisdom. Hallelujah. And it then becomes that ornament around us. And all of a sudden, they start thinking of us like we look at some of the older folks around us, and you realize the wisdom that the years have put. Now, there's some people that are old and they're still fools. Just saying, right, Mike? There's some folks that have been around the block a few times, and they still don't got it. They're still clueless. And it's sad, isn't it? So sad. Is anybody listening? Because wisdom is calling out. Will we take truths and will we apply them to our lives? Will we take the words of God and apply them to our families and to our relationships? See, Proverbs is so interesting because it's just got all these wonderful, wonderful. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your older days. See, as children, we learned all these things. Now, some of these things we realized was a bunch of it was wrong. It was no son. This is what my parents tell me, David. You're sitting too close to the TV. That will hurt your eyes. Now, we sit how close in front of a 21-inch monitor? And no one thinks about, didn't he tell us, back up from the TV, it'll hurt your eyes. You know, so some of the things we didn't fully, but let me tell you what, there's a lot of truth in what our parents said. Listen, David, there's nothing good that happens after midnight. There's nothing good that happens after midnight. So guess what? Your curfew is 10 o'clock. That's just how it was in my house. I'm so thankful for parents who cared where I was. Of course, they grew up with it's 10 o'clock. They opened the 10 o'clock news. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Have you heard any of those messages lately? That was wisdom. That was wisdom crying out on the national media that nothing good happens late at night. And it was being broadcast. Wisdom was being cried out in the streets. We've lost that wisdom. We've lost that. Not the statistics showed when we went into driver's ed, they told us the amount of DUIs that happened by 11 o'clock, the number of DUIs percentage, people on the road who are over the limit at 12 and 1 in the morning. We know those, but the wisdom that there. Yet there's some folks who still. Chapter 19, verse 18, talk about wisdom. Chasten your son while there is still hope. Chasten your son while there is still hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Parents who choose not to chasten, to discipline, while there's still hope. It's not too late. Because again, we know that once we get set in a way, and that's why it's so important that we're constantly, grandparents, parents, that we're training up our child in the way they should go. And we don't allow them to deviate. Well, that's being mean. You're just a mean parent. You don't, all the other, we were mean parents. Weren't we, Alicia? See, that's the thing. If you're consistent and you're loving, and that for every one time you have to chasten them, And the scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And that if we spare the rod, we'll spoil the child. But for every one time I had to chasten my daughters, hopefully 10 or 20 times they heard, I love you, and you're special, and God has a great plan for your life. See, that's the balance. Again, let me tell you what. Dallas had he had such a great sermon for the kids on Wednesday night in youth ministry. It was just powerful. And he made the statement. He said, listen, children, we have better things to do and really would prefer not to ever have to chasten you and be on your back. We really don't enjoy disciplining you. That is not make our day, oh, I get to go and discipline my child today and chasten them. We don't enjoy that. I never got those words, this hurts me more than it does you. Now, that's all. Although, you know what, as a parent, you understood there was some truth to how hard it was to have to discipline a child the second and the third and the fourth time. But again, you understand that that's what it takes sometimes with some children are wired that way. And so if God gives us, then we've got to follow through. Because again, we don't want them to go to the way of destruction. Amen? Because he who spares his rod, Proverbs 13:24, hates his son. Now that's a strong word, hate. But yet scripture is as clear can be. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. See, that's the problem we have as teachers in the school, right, Judy? There's no consequences for their actions. There's no immediate consequences. And as a result, there is no fear of the teacher. There's no fear. There's no respect of authority. And it's because there are no consequences. In the day, you guys know what in the day means. We went to school. I guarantee you, my teacher, his name, he hung on the wall proudly. El Guapo was the name of that paddle. And he didn't hesitate. If I got out of line, come on, son, we're going to have a little talk with El Guapo. Guess what? It was good for me. It put a healthy fear, another reason. Now, ultimately, God wants us to get to a place where we don't want to disappoint him. We love him so much, and that's how our children are. We love our parents so much that I don't want to disappoint mom and dad. I don't want them to have to chasten me. Because I know it breaks their hearts, and I know their desires and their intentions for me are great. And so we get to that place when we're mature enough, where they begin to where you just want to please them as much as you can. And ultimately, here is the most wonderful thing, and we got to experience this. We had no fear whatsoever to sending our daughters to college. My parents had no fear sending James and I off to college, wondering whether or not we would be persuaded, whether we would be pulled, whether we would be taken away from the way of life. There was not one worry. Why? Because we were raised in the fear of the Lord. Church, help us. God, help us as leaders, as parents, as grandparents, to keep instilling the fear of the Lord in our children. Amen. Let's close this thing out. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 24. Wisdom is calling out. Is anybody listening? Man, I pray this has been a blessing to you today. I pray that you've been encouraged today. Whatever state of parentinghood or adulthood you're in. And kids, just know this. We love you. And that's why we're on your case so much. Jordan, we love you. It's why we're on your case so much. Ian, Dakota, I'm watching you. You know why? I love you. I love you that much. Isaac, Isaiah, Isaac, Shai, Mariah. Man, we love you. I'm watching you too. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. And here's where America is at, church. Here's where America is at now, because wisdom has been crying out. Wisdom is calling out. Wisdom is shouting out to us. Because I have called and you've refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will now laugh at your calamity. I will now laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, and they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose, say it with me, the fear of the Lord. Because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and they despise my every rebuke. Every time I tried to discipline them, they despise me. They got that, boy, I've seen that look on teenagers. Parents go to correct them, and they give the parents that look. And I just wanna hit them in the next week. In Jesus' name. Because I know what that look means. You told me to sit down. On the inside, I'm sitting down, but on the outside, I'm standing up. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and they will be filled to the full with their own fancies. From turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But notice this last verse. Thank you, Lord. But whoever listens to me, whoever hears me, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Come on, can we give God a praise this morning? Stand with me this morning. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without any fear of evil. Wisdom's crying out today. Is anybody listening? Now, God has spoken to each one of our hearts this morning, specifically to every child, to every adult, to every grandma, to every person who's here this morning. God has probably nudged you in some area. Father, we thank you this morning for the word. Father, we thank you that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Father, we thank you that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And Lord, maybe we've grown lax, some of us, and you're encouraging us today to again reevaluate the fear of the Lord. God, I thank you that you're such a loving and great God. I thank you that you're such a compassionate God. I thank you today that you're such a merciful God. You're not an angry God. You're not angry at any of us. And so, Lord, today, Father, we just reevaluate what it means to walk in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and to raise children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Father, we give you praise for this word today. And I thank you for each and every one of us. God, is there another level, another way of walking before you, even a higher road that you want us to take that leads to life, not to destruction? God, if there are those here today, I pray, God, that are on that pathway to destruction, I thank you today. Today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day where those chains are broken and those hearts, those spirits can be taken and remolded to follow after you in your ways. Father, I thank you that there is great security in you. And you're waiting for us with arms wide open, just like the Father was waiting for his prodigal son to come home. Lord, bless your people today. Lord, bless this word in Jesus' name. Everyone say in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. May you walk this week in the fear of the Lord. And may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to help us move some chairs and tables, I appreciate it. But if not, God bless you. Oh, gentlemen. Oh, stop. Woo! I almost blew it again. God, men. Oh, men of God, come up here. We have gifts for you. Real quick, man. We have gifts for you. Happy Father's Day. They are all under the seat. I almost... Yes. Randall. Ah.